All right, Dwayne, I had to take a trip, and I did not know for sure whether I was going to even be back or not, and so Dwayne was willing to fill in, and I appreciate you doing it.
Well, thank you for being here, and I appreciate the opportunity. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I want to reiterate what Brother Chris said a moment ago about Reese. In our Sunday school class, we are missing several people, and they're playing it safe, as they should. And Reese has been sick lately. We miss her. We want her back, but I'm glad to see her tonight. On and off for the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, when I have this opportunity to do the Wednesday night, we've looked at selected passages from the book of 1 Corinthians. And we've seen from time to time how Paul has confronted numerous issues in the church there, problems in the church of Corinth. And for each of these issues and problems, he's confronted not only people's actions, but also their intent, their motive, or their attitudes behind what they did. And he wrote this letter in part because he wanted to teach these people how to live wisely in their Christian life. And that's defined by not really what's important to man, what's important to us, but by what's important to God, which is what they were not doing at this time. And in the first 6 chapters, there were a number of issues that he dealt with. There was division in the church over who their favorite teacher or preacher was, and there was division on what they should believe, the differences in opinion. And then Paul had an issue with their spiritual immaturity. They were babes in Christ. They weren't fulfilling their maturity in the Lord. And then in chapter 5, we see that there was sexual immorality in the church, and a lack of fellowship, and a lack of church discipline. And even brothers were taking other brothers to court, and so that was a problem. And for each of these, he was quick to point out that the reason that they were doing these things, that they were not living by the Spirit of God, but by their own desires. And they weren't allowing God's Spirit to control their life, and they were set out to please themselves and instead of pleasing the Lord. And he says in chapter 3, he says, "For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" They weren't being controlled by God's Spirit, and we get into all kinds of trouble when we do that as a child of God. And so he comes to chapter 7 and verse number 1, and he says, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." Now that phrase right there, "touch a woman," was simply a Hebrew expression that indicated a sexual relationship. And he starts to answer questions in this chapter that they have on the topic of being single, married, and divorced. And having dealt with sexual sin in the previous chapters, he begins to discuss the subject of marriage and to answer those questions that were raised. There were differences of opinion in that church on the rules of marriage between the traditional Jewish members and then those who had backgrounds in paganism. And Paul's point was not that it was better or right to be either married or single, but rather that you be true to whatever God wanted you to be true to how God wanted you to serve Him in whatever state that you were in. And once again, in Paul's way, which was logical, reasonable, and thinking, he answers these questions one by one. And this his message was not about being single or being married, but about using the same type of logic in these areas that they needed to use in the rest of their Christian life. And that's what we're going to look at tonight: godliness and contentment in our present circumstances, whatever they may be. Now, we're not going to read verses 2 through 6, but in them, Paul discusses some of the benefits of a good marriage. My dad told me the other day that he was grateful that he'd had 2 good marriages. He was married to my mom for 35 years, and then she passed away. And then he was married to Joanne for 20 years, and she passed away. And certainly, it's a good thing to have a good marriage. We got a lot of good marriages, long-term marriages, in this church. Some of you guys have been married about 150 years, I think, give or take a year or two. But because Paul himself was not married, he says in verse number 7, "For I would that all men were even as myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. Now notice the wording here. He says, every man hath his proper gift of God. And he's insinuating the fact that we all have a proper gift that God's given us. And that proper gift is the place where God's placed us. In fact, he started this whole letter, the letter of the Corinthians, out by stating that his desire for them was that they become come behind in no special gift. They fulfill their maturity to become exactly what God wants them to say. So he says, every man has his own proper gift of God, or his special place where God has placed him. And so continuing on in the verses 8 through 16, he explains and he builds upon what he's trying to tell them in the first six verses. And he tells them that there are benefits in being single, there's benefits in being married. He mentions why husbands and wives should stay together, and why, if possible, believing spouses should stay with unbelieving spouses, if they can at all. And this was good stuff for the Corinthians because they needed to know it. Obviously, they had a problem. But notice what he says down in verse number 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Which he was just saying, this is what I teach in all churches. So verse 17 is similar in thought to what we read in verse 7. That every man or every person has been placed in a certain position or a certain lot by God, and that he should be content to be there. Verse 7 said, every man has his own proper gift of God. Verse 17 says, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. Very similar verses. Now let's go to verse 18. Is any man called being circumcised? Now this is not about marriage. This is a totally different subject. Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. You see, there were believers in the church who some were from very strong Jewish backgrounds, but they weren't Christian, and some of them had tried to reverse their circumcision because of what it stood for and what it meant to them. And then there were other believers who had pagan backgrounds, and they thought that they had to be circumcised, be more like the Jewish Christians in their background. So Paul says in verse 19, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandment of God. And that's the bottom line, the most important thing, wherever you are, is keeping the commandments of God, having a good relationship with Him. That's what's vital to having a good relationship with the Lord in whatever situation we find ourselves in. In our Sunday school class in Grace Walk, we're finishing up in the book of Genesis, and we are seeing in the final chapters that Joseph was a man who was faithful to trust the Lord and faithful to really love the Lord no matter where God had placed him. You remember his brothers lowered him down into that pit, and later on they lifted him back up and sold him to the merchantmen. And then the merchantmen sold him to the Egyptian captain of the guard, Potiphar. And Potiphar put him to work as a servant, and not long after that, Potiphar's wife made that false accusation against him, and he went to prison. And there he was, he had expected the baker who he had helped out. You know, he was disappointed that the baker didn't help him for those 2 years when he was in prison. And wherever he was faithful to the Lord. In whatever situation he found himself in, he was humble, and he allowed God to use him wherever he saw fit. So Paul continues in verse number 20, and he says, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. So here in this chapter that started talking about marriage, we have three verses that are saying very similar things. Verse 7, every man has his own proper gift of God. Verse 17, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And the verse we just read, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. And then he continues in verse 21. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be free, use it rather. See, there were servants of all kinds during those days. And Paul's just saying, if you're a servant, don't worry about it. If you're a free person, don't worry about it. God can use you in whichever position you're in. Verse 22, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. ye are bought with the price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man, wherein he is called, therein abide with God. You see that again? It's the same thought expressed in the other three verses. Verses 7, verses 17, verse 20, and verse 24. Let every man, wherein he is called, therein abide with God. You see a common theme here that Paul's trying to say? He's saying that wherever you are in life, wherever your position is, be faithful to the Lord. Be real in your devotion. Love Him. Give Him your best. And that's hard to do. I mean, that's hard to do even in this world that we live in that seems to be getting more difficult to serve the Lord. It's important for us in whichever position to trust the Lord and depend on Him to take care of us. Depend on Him to direct our lives in the way that we should go. That's why Paul told young Timothy, the preacher boy, he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Wherever you find yourself, as long you have the godliness that should be residing in your heart. Just think about how many people are out there, how many Christians, disillusioned, angry, rebellious to God about their present situation. Complaining, they don't know why they should be there. When we find ourselves in those situations, we should realize that that's God's sovereignty. That's God's providence. He's placed us there. And we can't change those things. Now, they might change because life does change sometimes. But as long as we're in that position, we allow God to use us and we humble ourselves before Him and we ask Him and we talk to Him about the things in our life that we want to be changed. But wherever we are, wherever, whatever it is that we're doing, we're a servant, we're a free man, we're single, we're married, we have a job, we're unemployed, whatever it is in our life, we humble ourselves and allow God to use us. And if it's a bad place, you know, sometimes we're in a good place and God wants to use us there. Sometimes we're in kind of a middle place, you know, we're kind of treading water. It's not bad and it's not good, but, you know, we're just sort of hanging out. And God can use us there as well. But sometimes it's a bad place like it was for Joseph. And sometimes we have to depend on verses like 1 Corinthians 10:13. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation, it's a great verse, by the way, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So we will find ourselves in that bad place, and we will find ourselves in that place where we think that we just don't know what to do, I don't know how to serve the Lord. How can I serve the Lord in this place that I am in right now? Well, that's when you give Him your heart. And He'll talk to you through His Word. And the thought here that Paul is trying to convey is, Our concentration shouldn't be on unimportant things in our life. Our concentration should be on His Word. Our concentration should be on understanding His ways so that He can talk to us. David and CJ got back from their trip to the Ark, and they drove back and drove through the place where I was born in East Tennessee, all trees. And I heard CJ back in the prayer room say how she disliked all those trees because you couldn't see anything but trees. You can't see the forest for the trees. And if you weren't from that area and if you didn't have street signs, you didn't know where to go. And so I think sometimes in our Christian life we get that way. We just feel like we don't know what's going on and we're not trusting the Lord. And until we trust the Lord and understand that He's got the bird's eye view, you know, He's looking down upon us and He knows the course that Dwayne's on and that Patsy's on and that Royce is on. And He's waiting for us to trust Him. That's why the Apostle Paul says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Don't worry about the fact that in our minds, there's certain limitations that we have. You know, in this place that I'm in, I feel like God has placed certain limitations on me. Well, we don't worry about that. We let God take care of that. God knows more about that, and God knows how to use us wherever we are. Think about the burning bush. Moses stood before that bush that the Bible said burned continually with fire, but never was consumed. Now let me ask you a question. Was that a special bush? Did God make a special bush for that occasion? Well, probably not. There's probably nothing unusual about that bush other than the fact that God came upon it and that bush, he made that bush fulfill his purpose. And he can do the same thing with us as well. Our potential in Christ, no matter where we are, can be found in verse number 23. It says, "You are bought with the price. Be ye not the servants of men." Our value as a child of God, our value as God's servant, is not that we're an employee or a servant or a president or a king, or that we're rich or that we're poor, but whether that we're usable by God, that we've placed ourselves in a position in this situation that we're in, and we've allowed Him to use us no matter where we are. This year I reached the big 55, and as I look back on my spiritual life, I could tell you of many times which I wish I could go back and change those times. I wish I could go back in my spiritual life and be more concerned with what God thought than what I thought or what I was concerned with. Whether or not I should take this job or this job, whether or not to buy this car or that car, whether or not I should move to this place or move to that place. You see, I feel like if I had spent more time and concentrating on my relationship with the Lord and getting into His Word, God would have showed me those things. God would have directed me to exactly the place that I should be. I heard this from John MacArthur one time, and I'm paraphrasing it because I didn't write it down, but I like this quote. It says, he said one time, "If a person is totally committed to the Lord, if all passions and desires have been subjected to God's control completely, and all thoughts and doubts and attitudes have been placed at the feet of Jesus, then he can do whatever he wants to do, because he'll be doing exactly what God's Spirit desires for him to do." I like that. So say, all I got to do and all you got to do is get right with the Lord. Spend time in His Word. Spend time on our knees in prayer, and He'll show us what exactly He wants to do. And I think the Apostle Paul was trying to get these Corinthian believers to see that, hey, you know, it's not in being single or married or being divorced or a servant or a free man. It's giving your heart to the Lord and getting into the Word of God. There's a psalm that I really like. There's a verse in the Psalms, I think it's Psalms 24, which says, now watch this, I'm in front of everybody, I won't remember it, but the secret of the Lord is upon all who fear Him. That's a wonderful verse. If I want to know what God's will for my life, then I need to get on His page. I need to fear and respect and give Him the love that He desires for me to give Him, and then He'll show me what He wants me to do. Alrighty, I appreciate you being here tonight. Would you stand, please? And as Brother Chris said, remember these guys that have been mentioned in our prayers, and we will trust that God knows the best thing to do in those situations as well. Amen? Alrighty. Brother David, would you dismiss us in prayer?